Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update Podcast for April 25th, 2024. I'm your host, John Lothian. This podcast is brought to you by John Lothian News, the home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. Thank you for joining us. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Over 300 ICE employees, including ICE CEO and founder Jeff Sprecher, partnered with the Westside Future Fund, Warwick Dunn Charities, Inc., and Warwick Dunn Communities to support the revitalization of Atlanta's West Side, engaging in various volunteer activities like tree planting, gardening, community cleanup, kit assembly, and senior home repair along the historic James P. Brawley Corridor. Sprecher said, "For decades, the Atlanta community has served as an innovating and inspirational launching pad for many organizations, including ours, and ICE is honored to join forces with Westside residents to provide the resources needed to inspire continued success and impact." My good friend Sean Smith, presently tending his gardenias after leaving Quantico, is raising funds for Horizons National Chicago, an organization he joined last fall that seeks to advance educational equity by building long-term partnerships with students, families, communities, and schools to create experiences outside of school that inspire the joy of learning. HNC is an affiliate of Horizons National, HN, a national network of out-of-school academic enrichment and social-emotional learning programs working with children and families from underserved communities. Will you join me in supporting Sean's fundraising efforts? You can do so by visiting Horizons National website at www.horizonsnational.org. Former Profit and Loss founder and editor-in-chief Julie Ross, who freelanced for JLN last year during IDX, has been hired by Templum Inc. as its chief marketing officer. Templum is known for modernizing access to private markets and alternative assets. Today, CFTC Commissioner Summer K. Mersinger will participate on a panel, the Commodities End User Panel at FIA's Law and Compliance Division Conference at 3:45 p.m. to 4:45 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The Arditti Center for Risk Management at DePaul University's Dryhouse College of Business in Chicago, in partnership with the Global Association of Risk Professionals, GARP, will host a panel discussion on, quote, trends in AI application and emerging practices for managing AI risk on May 2nd. The panel from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. will feature distinguished speakers including Christina Fernandez de Souza, Stephanie Drysdale, Sandeep Mara, and Joe Pitikiel. The discussion will be moderated by Carrie Lynn. Registration is required for attendance, and the event will be followed by a networking reception. Admission is free. Find out more and register with a link in today's newsletter. SGX reports that the MSCI Singapore Free Index surged by 4.2% in March 2024, driven by strong performances from its top five constituents. During the same period, SGX MSCI Singapore Index Futures, or SIMSCI, reached a 2.5-year high of $4.5 billion, or 209,000 contracts, up from $2.9 billion, or 143,000 contracts, since January 2024. March also saw a robust daily average volume of 63,000 contracts, which is $1.4 billion U.S. dollars, marking the second consecutive month exceeding 60,000 contracts, the highest since October 2022. SGX also suggests that the MSCI provides global investors with efficient trading opportunities, offering round-the-clock trading and enhanced capital efficiency through cross-product margining. Hong Kong Exchanges and Clearing Limited, HKEX, reported a new record for HKEX's Hang Seng Tech Index options yesterday, with 20,205 contracts traded, doubling the previous record of 9,077 contracts traded on the 17th of January this year. What to do when you are the CEO of the company and you can't be a whistleblower and earn the CFTC's Whistleblower Award? You sell $65 million of stock to buy your own yacht. That is exactly what Richard Handler, the CEO of Jefferies Financial Group, Inc., did, according to a Bloomberg story. For the record, Bloomberg reports, it's the first stock sale Handler has made in the 34 years he's been at Jefferies, except for those used for tax purposes and charitable donations, the New York-based firm said. Proceeds from Wednesday sale are being used to buy a personal boat and pay tax obligations, Jefferies said. And in an ironic twist on the question, where are the customers' yachts, Handler is buying the yacht from a customer, the Financial Times reports. One of the four office buildings I spent my career in has been sold for a pittance compared to its last sale. The 216 West Jackson building sold for $2.5 million, Crane Chicago Business reported, down from $22.3 million in 2013. This building was home of First American Discount, which is the firm I worked for in the 1980s. Rosenthal Collins was also in the building, as Les Rosenthal was half owner of FADC and cleared its trades. I think whoever bought the building received a great deal, and even though it is not a newer building with all the bells and whistles, it could be a great location for startups looking for a loop location close to the trains and near the State Street colleges. Meanwhile, 65 East Wacker, which was slated to be converted from offices to residential, was handed back to the lender, Cranes also reported. This threw a wrench for a project once seen as a potential model for the office-to-residential conversions city leaders are pushing downtown, Cranes reported. In a widely reported action, Environmental Protection Agency today finalized a suite of standards to reduce pollution from fossil fuel-fired power plants. In its announcement, the EPA said these rules were finalized under authorities including the Clean Air Act, Clean Water Act, and Resource Conservation and Recovery Act. The rules will significantly reduce climate, air, water, and land pollution from the power sector, the agency said. The final rules include ensuring coal-fired plants control 90% of their carbon pollution for long-term operation and new gas-fired plants, strengthening mercury and air toxics standards, MATS, for coal plants, reducing toxic metal emissions by 67%, and mercury emissions from existing sources by 70%, reducing pollutants in wastewater from coal plants by over 660 million pounds annually, improving water quality, especially in environmental justice communities. Requiring safe management of coal ash in previously unregulated areas to prevent groundwater contamination. View the EPA news release with the link in today's newsletter. Read media reports in our item under Leads. Our most read stories from our previous edition of JLN Options were ex-Jane Street trader pillories claim he stole trade secrets from Bloomberg. Reluctant traders protect themselves from further market mayhem from Bloomberg, and analysis Metro Trade eyes opportunity in U.S. retail futures broking from FOW. Subscribe to the free JLN Options newsletter with the link in today's JLN. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's a video from our FIA Boca coverage. Hidden Road's Littman discusses expansion into listed derivatives and its new Route 28. JLN spoke with Lane Littman, president of Hidden Road, at the FIA Futures Industry Conference in Boca Raton in March about the company's work establishing a global trade network for institutions across asset classes and products. Using quantitative technology, the firm seeks to increase efficiency and transparency in the market through better access to data, credit, and capital, and a more efficient flow. The interview was part of the JLN Industry Leader video series sponsored by Wedbush. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. And then here's our Options Discovery series. Options Discovery, episode 33, Multi-Leg Option Strategies, Volatility, and Corporate Actions. Mark Benziquin, principal of OCC Education, discusses this and more with JLN's Esma Awas. In this episode of Options Discovery, Esma Awas talks about topics that newer and intermediate traders should familiarize themselves with. This episode includes a breakdown of a few multi-leg option strategies, volatility, and the most common corporate actions. Esma then sits down with Mark Benziquin, principal of OCC Education, which goes deeper into these topics. You can learn more about OCC Education with a link in today's newsletter. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. And then here's the full interview. Multi-leg option strategies, volatility, and corporate actions. Mark Benziquin, principal of OCC Education, discusses these topics in this Options Discovery full interview. In this Options Discovery full interview, Esma Awas speaks with Mark Benziquin, the principal of OCC Education. Mark talks about his career in the options industry as well as the educational curriculum that he has launched with the OCC. Mark also digs deeper into different multi-leg strategies, how traders can approach volatility, and how common corporate actions can affect option pricing. You can learn more about OCC Education with the link in today's newsletter and watch the full video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from Bloomberg, the headline, How to Get a Meeting with the UAE's $1.5 trillion man. Abu Dhabi's royal Sheikh Tanun controls a massive pile of private and state assets, and his gatekeepers can make or break a deal. Abu Dhabi Sheikh Tanun bin Sayed Al Nahyan is one of the most sought-after people in the Middle East. Money managers and financiers flying into the United Arab Emirates from Hong Kong, London, or New York yearn for even a 10-minute meet and greet. A lucky few might get to be guests aboard his superyacht, Murya, where he likes to play chess as the sun glistens on the Persian Gulf. Slim and sporty in his trademark sunglasses, the scion of the world's richest family oversees state assets and private funds that add up to be more than $1.5 trillion. The opportunity to invest even a sliver of that wealth could yield plump fees and returns. My comment. A $1.5 trillion man sounds like the bionic man from the 1970s television show built by the same U.S. Army supply officers who bought $400 hammers and $1,000 toilet seats. Here's a press release from the CFTC. AI Day, to be held at May 2nd, CFTC Technology Advisory Committee. Commissioner Christy Goldsmith-Romero, sponsor of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission's Technology Advisory Committee, TAC, announces AI Day to be held at the CFTC's Washington, D.C. headquarters on May 2, 2024, during a TAC meeting. AI Day will take place from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The public is invited to come in person or watch the meeting via live webcast at cftc.gov. AI Day is a continuation of the tech study of AI and the concept of of responsible AI in financial markets. Confirmed speakers include experts in AI who are members of the TAC. My comment. I am not sure why I want to start singing You Can Call Me Al by Paul Simon, but I do. Here's another press release, this one from the FIA. The headline, FIA cautions CFTC on regulations of AI. FIA recommends technology-neutral approach to regulation. FIA says CFTC should focus on outcomes and use cases rather than AI itself. FI letter joined by CME, ICE, and FIA PTG. FIA today responded to a request for comment from the Commodity Futures Trading Commission on the uses of artificial intelligence in derivatives markets. FIA welcomed the CFTC's decision to seek feedback from the public before determining whether additional regulation is needed and encouraged the agency to continue gathering information to help it better understand the current and potential uses for AI as well as the risks that may arise. My comment. FIA can show up in person and caution the CFTC on May 2nd while humming, You Can Call Me Al. Here are the top three stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our top story Wednesday was Bloomberg's China snowballs and their role in this year's stock sell-off Q&A. Second was the CFTC notice Commissioner Goldsmith Romero to participate in AI panel at FIA's Law and Compliance Conference. That took place yesterday at 2:45 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Third was the Financial Times employee non-compete agreements barred by U.S. regulator. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from Bloomberg. The headline, CFTC weighs outright ban on derivatives bets on U.S. election. Regulator is drafting a proposal for events contracts. Agency pushes to clarify restrictions on binary options. A top Wall Street regulator is considering an outright ban on using derivatives to bet on U.S. elections as part of a crackdown on so-called event contracts, according to people familiar with the plans. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission's draft proposal would boost oversight of the contracts that have let people wager on real-world outcomes such as monetary policy, lunar landings, and music awards. Beyond elections, the CFTC may also prohibit some contracts on sports and calamities such as global health crises, said the people who asked not to be identified discussing the internal deliberations. Here's another story. This is from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, Tokyo Exchange courts Asian startups for IPOs. The exchange is working with banks and other partners to select a few startups from other parts of Asia this summer. The Tokyo Stock Exchange aims to attract listings from Asian startups, leveraging the market's recent ascent to record highs and positioning itself as a preferred fundraising destination for companies outside Japan. Under a new initiative, the exchange is working with banks and other partners to select a few startups from other parts of Asia this summer to help them grow their business for potential initial public offerings down the road, said Hiromi Yamaji, Group Chief Executive of Japan Exchange Group, the parent company of the Tokyo Exchange. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, Lutnick lands Wall Street giants for his futures fight with CME. Howard Lutnick is lining up some of Wall Street's biggest power players for a fresh challenge to the behemoth of futures trading and interest rate derivatives, CME Group Inc. The chief executive officer of Cantor Fitzgerald got backing from Bank of America Corp., Barclays PLC, Citadel Securities, Citigroup Inc., Goldman Sachs Group Inc., JP Morgan Chase & Company, and Jump Trading as he prepares to launch his new futures exchange. The firms invested $172 million for a 25.75% stake in FMX, which increases as they use the platform. The business is part of BGC Group Inc., a brokerage spun off from Cantor Fitzgerald in 2004 and led by Lutnick. We're grateful for your attentive listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please spread the word about our podcast among your friends. We would greatly appreciate it if you could spare a moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform upon which you access this podcast. Your reviews play a crucial role in introducing our content to new listeners. Also, if you haven't subscribed to the Daily John Lothian Newsletter email yet, you can enjoy a complimentary 90-day trial by visiting johnlothiannews.com/trial. Thank you for your valued support. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.